everybody. This is a Tiny Terror episode. I've had a couple beers.
Yeah, yeah, we both have.
We usually do these before.
I know, right? This is bad.
We are joined by John from the Midwest Game Nerds. John, how's it going?
It is going, my friends.
John, minus our special commentary episodes we've done, you are the first guest host we've ever had on Horror Movie Yearbook. So you are very special, in a very special place, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's exciting. No, I'm glad to be here. When I listened to the Tiny Terror about your guys' ghost stories, and Alex had hit me up, and he's like, you should talk to those guys. I know you have some stories. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I listened to your episode, and I was like, yeah, I should tell these guys these stories.
I am super excited to hear them, because I'm into this stuff. I must say, I do want a low-budge Ghost Adventures Zach Baggins type show with you and Brian. Would be great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Whatever you want, man. We're always down for fun stuff.
Excellent. Yeah, man. Take it away. You got the reins. I want to hear these ghost stories, man.
Cool. Yeah. So the majority of them take place at my parents' house, and you guys have been there, so you kind of know the layout of the house and how things are. I'm gonna start with like a couple stories involving my mom.
Yeah.
Who is very spiritual. You know, we were born and raised Catholic and did that whole thing. So like, there's a lot of that spirituality, in the family. And my mom in my parents' bedroom, it used to be laid out where their bed would actually, like, it was against a wall that looked up the stairwell, like that went upstairs. And
wow,
my mom is, I don't want to say she's not a heavy sleeper, not a light sleeper. She's somewhere in between, but she would always, if we weren't home, she was always really concerned with where we were, what we were doing, that sort of thing. As any parent who cares about their children will. And, you know, I would oftentimes, I'd say in my late teens, I'd be out pretty late, but I tried to be reasonable about it. Come home around, you know, 2 at the latest. And, there are a few times where my mom would come upstairs the next morning, you know, as she's getting ready for work. She'd be like, "What time did you get home last night?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know. It was probably around like midnight or so." And she's like, "Oh, okay. Are you sure it wasn't like 3 in the morning?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good. Like, it was definitely earlier than that." She's like, "Okay, well." And then she'd go and she'd ask my older brother, "What time was John home last night?" And he was like, "Well, you know, John was home before me, and I got home at like 1, so he must have been here at like midnight." And so my mom was like, "Okay, you sure it wasn't like 3 a.m.?" And my brother's like, "Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't 3 a.m. Like, he's like, "We wouldn't do that to you, Mom. Like, come on, give us a break here." And come to find out, and it had happened several times, my mom would see a ball of light around 3 a.m. And it happened consistently on a regular basis, where she would see a ball of light appear at the foot of the stairs, and she would watch it kind of shoot up the stairwell. And I don't mean like, it would like it was a smooth motion of like, she would see it appear and then she would see it go up the stairs. And it wasn't just something she was envisioning. Like, she said it looked like a flashlight, like somebody was shining a flashlight, mm-hmm. and it would glow and it would just go right up the stairs. And she was like, "There's something, you know, maybe the kids got home late. I don't know." Like, she's like, "It's late," but she was awake enough to see a light appear at the bottom of the stairs and go up the stairwell several times, like multiple times.
But it was like a deliberate movement, it sounds like. It wasn't just like a freak thing.
To me, it sounds like that time loop theory that you guys were talking about and your little spiel about the, you know, a ghost is like energy caught in time. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm very much like, I subscribe to the belief that like, much like everything, we have energy flowing through our bodies. And energy never is created or destroyed. It only changes form. So like, when people die, like, where does the energy go? It doesn't disappear necessarily. So maybe some of it does reside here on Earth. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Like, yeah,
it just is what it is. So that's one of my mom's stories. Another one, my parents, they used to share the shower first thing in the morning. Like, my mom would get out and my dad would get in. Like, and because they would both leave for work at the same time. So it was always this competition of like showering. Yeah. And, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I deal with it. but as, my mom used to like write notes on the fog in the mirror to like joke with my dad, you know, she'd write something stupid, like write a joke or something or whatever, make a smiley face or, you know, an "I heart you" kind of thing. Just being cute. My mom's super cute. I love her to death.
I went to a Prince concert with your mom. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty great, man. Yeah. So she, I don't remember if she had written something on the mirror or if it was my dad had written something on the mirror, but one as they were doing the shower switch, there was some, like another set of like handwriting showed up on the mirror.
Yeah.
And it just said, get out.
No, nope.
And I believe my mom looked at my dad and was like, really? Like, really? I should get out of the shower? And my dad's like, I didn't write that.
Nope.
And my mom was like, you didn't write that? And my dad's like, absolutely not. And I'm telling, like, right now, I'm getting goosebumps just telling you this story.
So because,
like, you don't ever want to see those words appear anywhere randomly, you know?
Nope.
And to me, I think, and I'll go into this a little bit later with another story, but I think whoever it was doing was playing along with the joke is essentially what it is.
It wasn't like, it wasn't like a malevolent message. It was like, I'm just going to get a good laugh here.
Yeah. It was like, it's like, hey, hold my beer, hold my spiritual beer and watch this. Like,
they had seen Amityville Horror and they were like, this would be fun.
Yeah. This is funny. Check this out real quick. You know,
If I were a ghost, like, that's what I would do. I would screw with people. 100%.
Oh, absolutely. It would be The Haunting starring Poltergeist from Sega Genesis, like, every day of my life.
Yep.
I would just be messing with people. Like, it'd be Beetlejuice, like, the whole bit. Like, I would do all of that stuff because it's just funny.
Why not?
Be funny. So that's another one. I don't think they ever told that one to Alex because at the time when it happened, he was, I think... was it middle school? It wasn't quite high school yet. So he was still kind of younger and it would kind of creep him out. So they never told him that. But my mom always told me this stuff because she knew, like, I was into it. Like, I love this kind of, you know, I love ghost stories and everything. I was always like reading those books, like growing up and all that. So I'm really into that. One of the first books I read, the first horror book I read in like fourth grade was Salem's Lot. So like, I'm into that. Like,
great book.
Absolutely. Another one involving my parents' house. Actually, the next like four little bits are going to involve my parents' house. But this one, at the time, I was 19, and my friend Corey, who has been on the Game Nerds podcast, was staying at our house for an extended period of time. He had some issues at home and decided he was going to crash at our place. And my parents were cool with it. No big deal. My cousin Mary, who is a year younger than me, decided she wanted to come hang out with me and my friends because, like, she knew we like to get, you know, kind of rowdy on the weekends. We would go to a friend's house and play poker, drink, smoke things, and then go back home and go to bed. So we did our normal Friday night thing. We all got together. We played poker. Everybody had to get a little bit inebriated. I stayed sober because I was going to make sure, like, everybody got home okay. My cousin had she wasn't drunk. She had a couple of drinks, whatever, underage drinking. Don't promote it, whatever. So she gets back. We get back to the house. Corey and I are like, okay, Mary, we're going to go upstairs, go to bed. You can crash on the couch in the living room. No big deal. And I think you guys probably remember my parents had this really big entertainment center in the living room and it had like glass windows on the sides.
Yep.
Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Mary's sleeping on the couch. The couch at the time was against the south wall of the living room. An entertainment center was against the west wall of the living room. As she's laying on the couch, she looks and sees in the glass of the entertainment center, someone is like looking over the arm of the couch at her. Mm. And she just assumed it was maybe my mom. And then she was like, no, it's Corey. He's messing with me, you know, like just kind of thinking that. And she said, she looked up and whatever it was, turned around and ran in the opposite direction and disappeared.
Mm.
Like literally turned around, ran, and poof, gone. And she was like, it looked like an old lady. I don't really know who it was. Could have been grandma. Like, you wow. know, that sort of thing. And she told my mom the next morning before any of us woke up. She woke up and my mom and her were having coffee. And she was like, you know, I don't know if anything has ever happened to you in this house before, but I had something happen to me last night. And my mom was like, oh, no, shit happens all the time. Like,
well, and that's what's interesting to me, John, is that like you now have three separate people in the same house who had different experiences, right? So
yep.
You've got your mom's initial experience that you were talking about with the 3 a.m. stuff and the orb of light or the beam of light. You've got the bathroom mirror, which both your mom and your dad experienced. and you've got now your cousin who has experienced a whole different phenomenon. I've been in that house a few times. I never personally, you know what I mean, experienced anything, but there is an inherent, I mean, there is an inherent spookiness to that house, that space. I feel like, I don't know how to explain it.
It was such a unique house for the area that it was in. Yes. And it was clearly special to someone somewhere, at some point in time.
I was going to ask, do you know any of the history to that house?
That's the thing. I wasn't even going to bring this up because I didn't really think it was that important. But since you guys were talking history of the house, randomly, at some point, I want to say probably about 10 years ago, the daughter of the architect who drew up the house came and just stopped by randomly and brought old photos of the house to show my parents out of nowhere. Literally just like appeared and was like, hey, my dad designed this house and I wanted to show you these old photos and everything. And they showed them, you know, she showed off these photos and they showed off like the original interior. And it was, you know, not terribly different from what my parents had. Obviously it had like shag rug at some point and they had irregular slate in the foyer, as opposed to the very 90s tan tile that it ended up with when we got the house.
But cosmetic stuff, though.
Yeah, very cosmetic, no big deal. But one of the things that she actually, I recall my mom telling me that she had asked, was that there was this closet in the dining area. I don't know if you guys remember the snack closet. Does that sound familiar at all?
Yeah, I do.
My mom used to fill it with food for lunch. And I mean, we had my friends would come over for lunch. Andy's friends would come over for lunch. Alex's friends would come over for lunch. And that closet was full of food all the time. And part of the reason it was always full of food is because it was literally like 25, 30 degrees colder than the rest of the house for no reason. Nobody knew why, but it was always cold. That's just the way it was. But the architect's daughter was like, is that closet still there? Like she out of nowhere just asked that question. And my mom was like, yeah, it is. And she's like, oh, cool. Yeah, that's cool. And then nothing ever came of it. It was just so brought weird. Up as a thing. Super weird, right?
If you had a history of the house, why would you ask about a random closet? You would ask about hey, is my old bedroom still the same?
Exactly.
Well, hey, is that little closet still? That very strange. Very strange.
Extremely strange. But that's, it was just, this woman came randomly and spoke with my parents and then left, and that was it. They never heard from her again, I don't think. But a couple other stories here. And then I've got one from a friend that I'll tell you too, that's a little bit, not from my parents' house, but it took place elsewhere. But in my parents' house, when I was probably about 14, I was home alone and it was middle of the day ish, watching TV in the living room. No big deal. All of a sudden I hear the silverware drawer in the kitchen open and slam shut. Nobody else is home. I was like, what the fuck was that? You know? And I stand up and I walk to the kitchen and I've got goosebumps the whole time. And I see the silverware drawer is closed, and I open it and close it again and walk away. And as I'm walking away, I started smelling cigarette smoke, and I'm like, who's smoking? Who's in the house right now? It's just me, and I don't smoke cigarettes. What the hell is this all about? I go and I sit back down in the living room, and I'm watching TV again, and I hear the silverware drawer open and slam shut again, and I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Stand up, and I walk to the kitchen, and it just reeks of cigarette smoke, and I'm like, okay, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. What is going on? You guys know, I'm a pretty rational human being. I like to tell jokes and things and goof around and be funny, but this was not funny. As a 14-year-old kid home alone, smelling cigarette smoke in a house where there is no cigarette smoke and nobody smokes cigarettes, and hearing the silverware drawer open and close repeatedly for no reason.
You start being concerned somebody's broken into the house, right? I mean,
I'm thinking somebody's fucking with me, you know? I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, the cigarette smoke smell disappeared and everything was normal. And I was thinking to myself, okay, whatever it was, probably figured out it was freaking me out. And maybe it was a joke and they're done. And I'm just going to go upstairs and pretend that none of this happened. And that's what I did.
A wise choice.
That's the end of that story. This is one that happened to me on several occasions. At one point when Andy had moved out, I had taken over his bedroom. In his bedroom, it's the same one Alex had after I moved out, is the bigger room upstairs. There was a set of track lights on the ceiling. There were five of them. And they were these little track light ring lights. They had small bulbs that were held in using metallic rings on the housing of the light. And if I spent anywhere from 2 to 3 hours sitting on my ass in that bedroom playing video games or fucking around on my computer, in sequence from left to right, if you're looking through the doorway at the lights from left to right, in sequence, the rings on the bulbs would untwist and fall on the ground. And I would go and say the first one dropped, right? I would go and I'd pick it up and I'd screw it back on and I would check each of the other lights and just make sure they're all tight. And then half hour, 20 minutes later, the next one falls. And I would, same thing. I'd get up, I'd screw it on, I'd check all the bulbs again. I'd sit back down and do my thing. 20, 30 minutes later, the next one falls. And it would happen in sequence, left to right, every time. And it happened to me at least 15 times.
Wow.
And I have no idea why. Everyone was like, oh, it's because the lights get too hot and the heat expands the metal and the metal untwists the thing. And I'm like, no. Like, you don't understand. I fucking twisted them by hand myself to make sure they were as tight as can be. This isn't some science shit.
This is multiple times, too. I don't know. I don't buy that. I mean, I cannot think of a single time in any house I've lived in with any light fixture I've ever had where, like, the bulb unscrewed itself and fell out. Plenty of bulbs burning out, but never falling out. That's
bulbs burn
story.
Out all the time.
All the time.
Are the most like inefficient garbage invention, other than the fact that they give us light. You know, beyond that, they're useless.
They're useful, but inefficient,
and they break all the time. Garbage, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, it happened all the time, and I want to say, I think my ex-girlfriend was there at least one time and she could probably vouch for it happening, but I don't talk to her and neither do you. So,
That's fine.
There are other witnesses. And I think it actually has happened to Alex too. I think he had been in the room a couple times when it happened, or at least when he was in the room himself, it happened. And that leads into my next story is Alex has had sleep paralysis in that room 2 or 3 times, I think,
Jesus.
If not more.
That's
where he
terrifying.
Saw a dark figure at the foot of the bed.
That
freaks me out.
I didn't know, Alex. I didn't know about this.
I don't know if you wanted me sharing it, but too bad. Like it falls in line with the rest of my stories here. He had sleep paralysis a couple of times, and in having that sleep paralysis, oftentimes dark figures are seen. It's just commonly considered a figment of your imagination, but like prior to Alex sleeping in that room, he had never had it as far as I know. So I don't know if it was just something that occurred to him like in that setting because he was there and whatever that entity was like didn't recognize him and was like, hey, what are you doing in here kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
So not quite sure.
That's freaky.
I'll need to recommend Alex The Nightmare. There's a great, like, it's kind of like a documentary.
It was on Netflix for a long time.
It's on Tubi now. I looked it up for a second because I want to remember the name of it. But it's about sleep paralysis.
And the black figure.
And
that,
the black figure specifically. And it's so creepy because they kind of recreate
that's crazy.
It. They do a great job of recreating what you see.
Yeah, because most people that have sleep paralysis tend to see the same dark figure.
Yeah.
Which is
I'll
horrifying.
Have to check that out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's called The Nightmare. it's good. It's really well done.
Very cool. So my parents moved out of that house 3 years ago now.
I was going to say it was a couple years back, right?
Yeah, I think it was June of 2018, maybe. It could have been maybe earlier than that. It's 2 or 3 years now going on. And the new owners that moved in, super nice people. Two kids, two daughters, I believe. At the time, one of them was maybe 3, and the other one, I think, was under a year or at least a year old, if I recall correctly. And my dad had created this really awesome Frank Lloyd Wright style stained glass door, and he put it on the front door of the house. And they left it with the new owners because it looked great with the house. It fit the aesthetic. It was super unique, very cool. And the owners went out one night. They went to dinner or something with friends and family or whatever. And they, you know, when they got back, they decided, oh, let's go, you know, let's get in the house here and put the kids to bed. The front door wouldn't let them in.
What?
They couldn't get it open. All of the locks were unlocked. The handle was turning, but the door would not let them in the house.
Wow.
Like, and the only reason I know this is because I was driving to my wife's father's house, which is down the street, one day, and I noticed that the door on the house, on my parents' house, was a different door. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, I wonder what they did with the old door, because it was a really cool door. If they're throwing it away, I want it. You know, mm-hmm. It's my dad made this thing. It would be great. So I called my dad up and I said, hey, the new owners got rid of the door. You don't know anything about that, do you? And he's like, no, I'll have to call him and find out. So my dad called and they, you know, the new owner was like, yeah, the house wouldn't let us in. And I think it was the door. I don't know if it just got stuck or what exactly, but we had everything unlocked and we were turning the handle and it just wouldn't let us in. And so I decided to just change the door. And my dad was like, that's weird. You have anything else weird happen? And the guy was like, yeah, you know, the kids were up really late one night. I could hear them playing from downstairs and they were up in the bedroom and it was the big bedroom again, where Alex and I had both experienced things. Mm-hmm. And the two daughters were sharing a room and she could hear the younger daughter talking to the older daughter, like babbling to the older daughter, and the older daughter like babbling back to the younger daughter. And, you know, the lights were out and the dad said, he's like, I came upstairs, you know, and I told the daughter, I was like, you know, get your sister her little toy and put it in the crib. And she goes and picks up this toy on the floor. Again, it's dark, and just tosses it in the crib. The dad was like, that was weird. Like, what is that toy exactly? Flicks on the light and it was a dead rat in the house.
What?
For no reason, upstairs. And the one daughter had picked it up and tossed it in the crib with the baby, not really knowing what it was.
So regardless of supernatural stuff, that's gross.
It's super gross and like super weird. And just it's to me, it's coincidental and super eerie that it all happened in this one bedroom. Like all of these events, a bunch of these events happened in that one room.
So what's interesting, John, is that a lot of the stuff that you're, and I'm trying to come at this from like a non-skeptic perspective, right? Like to keep my mind open to the stuff. Like what's interesting is that a lot of the stuff you're saying, most of the stuff that you guys experienced in your time in the house, which was how long? I mean, you guys were in that house for...
Oh, geez. I think we were in it for 18, almost 20 years.
Sure. Right. So the better part of a couple decades, you guys experienced mostly harmless or playful things, I would say. Yes. Now, you move out. Well, I mean, to be fair, you and your siblings were out for a little while before your folks left. But there's a shift and a change in the dynamic. It's a different family that comes in. And now you're getting things that are maybe a little bit more, I don't know, I guess they could be construed as playful, but maybe a little bit more antagonistic.
Yeah.
So and that's something too that I've read bits and pieces of, not the full stuff, because the text is huge, but I've read bits and pieces of Hans Holzer, who's like a big time paranormal, you know, ghost whisperer. I don't know what he calls himself, but I've read some of his stuff. And one of the things that he talks about is that spirits can sometimes change in terms of changes around them. So incidents in the environment that they possess or that they inhabit, major shifts or changes can affect how they interact with the physical world, the corporeal world. So
it's much like, again, it kind of ties into that like time loop thing again, you know, like the loop, something in the loop has changed. So like the ghost or whatever it is reacting to that change in a way. You know?
Yeah. It's almost, you know, and for me, like if I am to believe in the supernatural or in spirits or ghosts, I certainly, and maybe there's no rational or logical reason for this, I buy more into the idea that a spirit is less about the person it was and more about a memory or a or an instance that is trapped and repeating itself. Maybe that's wishful thinking, because I hope that there's nobody that's actual consciousness and spirit is trapped in this world after they've gone. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but that's the way I see it. Whereas maybe if you believe in something that's more malevolent or more has more free will or more of an actual motivation behind what it's doing, that might be more something akin to a demon, or you know, if you're going with that,
right,
that mentality or that traditional, I guess, Christian or Catholic idea of what a spirit or a haunting could be. This to me sounds like, just based on the stories you've told, if you're going with that thought process, this sounds more like you said, like almost like a loop type thing, where it's there's an energy in the house. It's not necessarily conscious, or it's not making specific decision. It's not even a person per se, or not even, it wasn't necessarily a person in its previous existence. It's just something in the house that's trapped there that maybe is feeds off the energies in the house almost.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me, but
I never felt threatened or scared or anything in that house. I mean, I have my own irrational fears for certain things. But, you know, for instance, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, there was an Unsolved Mysteries maybe it was one of those, like, ghost shows that showed up at some point, like, when Unsolved Mysteries was, like, still a thing. But there was, like, a hotel that had a face that would appear on the television or something like that. So I have this slight irrational fear of televisions when, like, I'm in a dark room.
Right.
Like, that just creeps me out.
Right.
Well, exactly. Those old TVs were scary because the image would stick around, too, for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Old TVs. So I get that.
I don't know if I've said this on the show, but my daughter's baby monitor.
Baby monitors are fucking terrifying.
Right, right. Of course. Well, naturally, right. But so here's what mine does, right? So you can turn it off all the way, or you can just turn the screen off. Okay, just tap the power button and it turns the screen off. So you save some battery life, but you can still hear the audio. So it's more of a monitor and less of a video. It's an audio thing. So
I already know where this is going, and it's making me creepy.
The problem with this is that when you turn the video back on for a split second, but enough for your brain to register what you're seeing, the video shows whatever was captured the last time the video monitor was on, and not what's actually live and happening in the room. So I can't tell you the number of times I've clicked the monitor on because I heard a noise or I just wanted to look or whatever, right? I'm a parent, so who knows? And I see a man standing over my daughter's bed, or a figure standing over my daughter's bed. And it's me or my wife, obviously, from the last time we were in there.
And it just scares the shit out of you.
And I immediately jump up like I'm about to go in there and fight somebody or you know, grab a cross. I don't know. Whatever I'm going to do. But it's. So if we could get that technology, you know, maybe more cutting edge than it is.
I mean and it doesn't help that, like, the modern ones have the video screens, and like I can sit there and I see my baby now sit up in her crib, and she does this like rocking thing every once in a while,
and it's terrifying.
Just, like, it is, yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, all right, who the fuck's she in there talking to, like, what is
it's terrifying,
who's in there with her?
Dude, the other night I gotta share this with you real quick. So the other night I hear bumping around, some sort of bumping around sound. And my immediate thought is, I wake up, right? It's loud enough for me to wake up. So yeah. I'm already a little bit concerned because I'm not a heavy sleeper, but I'm heavy enough to where, like, little light sounds ain't going to wake me up, right? So I wake up and I go, what's happening? And I'm sitting straight up in bed and I'm listening. Is there more creaky or weird sounds? Nothing. That's a good sign, I think. So then I flip on the monitor and it's pointed right straight down at my kid's bed. She's not in the bed. And I go, what? And it's like 2 a.m. and I'm freaked out, because if she's up out of bed, odds are she is at her gate, in her doorway yelling for us. So I already know that she's up, right?
Right.
Silence. And she's not in her bed. So I'm like, okay, don't panic. I pan the monitor up, right? Upwards towards her rocking chair. Cause we have a rocking chair in her room, you know, where we can sit and read stories to her before bedtime, for bedtime and all that stuff. You guys probably have a similar thing.
Yep.
And there she is, just sitting there in her chair, just by herself, just rocking in the chair by herself, holding her blanket and just rocking. And it was like, I was relieved immediately,
but also slightly terrified
because it was creepy as shit.
Because little kids are fucking creepy.
What are you
doing?
You guys are making a kid sound terrified for like more reasons than I expected. Yeah.
No, you should be.
Expect to bring on haunting.
You should be terrified for a multitude of reasons, both normal and paranormal.
And scary baby monsters. Yeah,
absolutely, man. You know, babies are creepy as fuck, dude. Like that's why. Like whenever kids come in horror movies, you're like, oh man, shit's going down. Like,
Okay, yeah, like anytime she like, thank God she has an imaginary friend. When that happens, I'm out. I'm moving out of the house.
I'm going to title this episode, Babies Are Creepy as Fuck.
Yes, please do. But that being said, like when she comes up for like names for stuff, I find it super adorable, right? So like she's got a stuffed panda, right?
Yeah.
And I said, what's the, you know, like one of us asked her what the panda's name was and she goes, Sticky Banjo. Well, Sticky Banjo is an adorable name for a little stuffed panda.
Absolutely.
But then I think deeper and I go, where did she get that from? Like, I hope it's a cartoon. Because like
maybe there's some weirdo that appears to her with a sticky banjo.
Exactly. I don't know, you know that.
Yeah. Why you is know? The banjo sticky? Well, it's covered in blood. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Maybe I've seen too many horror movies, but you know, I mean, I start thinking these things like, man, like maybe she's getting this stuff because they say kids are more susceptible to this stuff. But yeah. I don't know.
I got one more quick one for you guys. Yeah, and it involves a friend of mine, one of my employees who used to work for me. She and her friends, they were living in a house in Ferndale. And I remember her coming into work one day and she's like, yeah, like I feel kind of weird today. And I'm like, why? What's up? She's like, my friends brought over this Ouija board last night and we were just kind of messing around with it. And it just kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you don't fuck with those things. It's not a toy. And they're like, yeah, no, they think it's a toy. And I'm like, it's not a fucking toy. Like, this is not like, don't even like, what did you guys do? Who did you invite into the house? And they were like, and she looked at me, she's like, you're really into this. And I'm like, no, I'm not into this. I'm scared for you. Like, I'm like, what did you guys do last night? And she's like, well, we were talking to this dude. And I'm like, who was it? And where did they come from? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, it could have just been fake, but it kind of freaked me out just because like we were all really into it. And I'm like, okay, if you say so. But I'm telling you right now, if I were you, I would get all those friends together tonight, pull out the Ouija board and tell whatever it is to just leave you guys alone. Because it's going to start fucking with you. And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yes, it is. I promise you this. And
yeah,
she's
either like, no, that or you have to do a full on cleansing of the house. Like that.
Exactly.
And
I was like, trust me, like get the board, get it out, tell everybody who is there to, you know, use the same energy they had and bring this thing back and then tell it to just go away and leave you alone and you will be fine. And when you're done, either burn the Ouija board or like bury it in the backyard or something, but don't fuck with that thing. It's not a toy. And she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Just kind of shrugs it off. Right. So then a couple days later, she comes into the shop and she clearly hasn't been sleeping. And I'm like, are you cool? And she's like, no, you remember all that stuff you told me about the Ouija board? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, I don't forget about these things. And she's like, yeah, some shit went down last night. And I'm like, what do you mean some shit went down last night? What does that even mean? And she's like, well, you know, we were with the girls. I think she said she lived with two or three girls at the time. And like they all in their separate rooms. It's like two, three in the morning, something like that. Probably three because that's the witching hour. And that's when all the bad shit happens. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this. And she said, out of nowhere, she woke up and it sounded like it was just like pouring rain in the house. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I got up and I ran out into the living room and the other girls had all run out into the living room and we were all like, what the fuck is going on? And we realized every single faucet in the entire house was turned on to the max, including the spigots outside of the house.
Nope.
She looked terrified when she was telling me, and like, she's a pretty normal, sane person. So for me to like see this and to hear this coming from her, I was like, you need to get your friends together and get the Ouija board out and tell this thing to leave you the fuck alone. And I am not joking. And I'm like, seriously, like, you go home now and go to sleep, get some sleep, wake up tonight, get your friends together and tell this thing to go the fuck home. Like,
dude.
So she did. Yeah. And she said after that, nothing had ever happened again. But in my experience, and when I say in my experience, I just mean like in general, in what I've heard regarding Ouija boards and other scary stories, those things don't ever really close the portal. They open, but you got to be pretty firm in telling whatever it is that's bothering you to just leave you alone. And more often than not, it does. But yeah, I just that was like one of the biggest Ouija board stories and that I've ever heard, and it scared the shit out of me. And I think about it every time that, because I still talk to this girl, she's a good friend of mine, and every time I talk to her, I ask her like if she's had anything else come up, and she's like, no, not lately. She's like, there are a couple nights where I had some really weird nightmares, but that's about it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
that's all you're getting is a couple of weird nightmares every once in a while. I think you're okay, but yeah, I'm glad you stopped fucking with the Ouija board, because the thing is not a toy.
Yeah, that's well, yeah. Thank you, John. I won't be sleeping tonight. Thanks, pal.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
Just doing my part.
I'll be fine. Yeah, that was fun, man. Thank you for sharing some stories, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this stuff is like, I think, you know, Tim and I made it pretty clear that we're both we're open to this stuff. We're skeptical, but we're certainly open enough to admit that, like, we don't know everything. You know, I think you and I, Tim, would agree. Like,
I mean,
we don't know
everything that's going on. So that's the outlook to have, especially
that's a healthy way to approach it, I think.
Yeah, it's good to be skeptical. It's good to ask questions, and you can't just believe everything in front of your face. But like in my case, you know, and of course, for the longest time, I had been very skeptical. But to have repeated things happen to me that I couldn't explain, and to have them happen to my mom and my dad and my cousin, all in the same vicinity of where I was experiencing these things, makes it more real. And makes it a little more terrifying in a way, but also, like, again, like in my case, I feel as though it wasn't necessarily an evil spirit of any sort. And I think it was one that was just kind of, to me, if I'm putting a face and a name with it, I think the one who was telling me, who was messing with the track lights, was probably my grandpa telling me to get off my ass and do something, because I was being lazy, you know.
It could be
hey man, get off your ass and screw this fucking bulb back in, like, you know,
get to work.
Yeah, do something. Don't sit on that damn computer game all day long, you know, like, just get up and do something. And so that's I always considered it that. And you know, there was another like little quick tidbit here, and I'll let you guys, we can all take off for the night, but there was a period of time for at least 2 or 3 years where I would wake up every single night at about 3 o'clock in the morning every single night. And for a while I was pretty sure whatever it was after I moved out of my parents' house and I was living over on Griffith with a friend. I think it was whatever spirit was in my parents' house was checking in on me every night to just make sure that I was okay. You know, I always thought of it as like a more positive experience of like whatever it is, just making sure I'm cool, because clearly it cares about me, I think. And so I kind of just I let that bring peace to mind. When
that's good, man. That's more of a guardian angel than a, you know,
I think it's else. A better way to think of things, because like you don't always want to be freaked out about it, you know.
It's if that stuff exists, I don't think it's I think, you know, you see it in popular media, movies specifically, and it's always malevolent and scary because that's easy to sell and that's what people are buying. I don't think if that stuff exists, I do not think it's all of that ilk, because nothing in life or in the universe is just negative or just positive. There's some of both, right?
Right.
So I find it hard to believe that, the paranormal is all bad.
Just the Ouija boards.
Yeah, well,
I'm really happy. Well, I'm happy you told that story too, because you mentioned Ouija boards when we were talking about putting this together.
So I like, wanted I'm to never know touching why. That shit.
Yeah, and yeah. I wanted to know what exactly.
Between my story and John's story, you're like, well, that's never gonna happen.
This if thing, that was ever gonna happen. When I heard your, I was driving to work this morning and heard your story and was like,
Well, and I, yeah, you know, and like I said, I can safely tell you that this is a story. I would not have shared it if it's somebody that I don't. This person has no reason to make something like that up. There's no, right. There's zero, there's no, and they've held true to this story for years. So I don't believe everything, but I definitely believe this story that I've heard. So
this is also great too, because I've told Willie numerous times that my goal now is for us, Willie and I, to retire and become ghost hunters.
We're one step. Yes.
My goal is to retire.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. After this Tiny Terrors and our previous, I feel like we're one step closer to our to Tim and Willie's ghost hunting adventures.
Yeah, definitely. You guys can go spend a night on the in the Beverly House overnight and see what you can wake up.
We don't have to go very far.
Yeah, there's plenty of places in the area that we could go to. So
absolutely.
Yep. My wife will probably not be happy with me, but you know, it is what it is. So.
Hey, John, plug the Game Nerds. What do you guys got
yeah,
coming
what's
up
going on?
Real quick?
What do we got coming up? We have a new game coming out. It actually comes out tomorrow, called Returnal, and it is a sci-fi time loop sort of game of some sort, like Dark Souls meets guns and weapons in space kind of thing.
Sweet.
So Alex is picking that up. I'm picking that up. It's on PS5. We're going to be rolling that for the next episode, I think. And then I think Brian had a couple other things he was going to talk about too, but I can't remember what off the top of my head. But Returnal is going to be the big one. We're Alex and I are really excited about that because we've seen some good reviews so far. So I'm pretty pumped. So
awesome. I saw the trailer for that a while back and it looked really
cool. Did look
it
sweet.
It looks sweet. It looks so sweet. It looks like something you guys would be into for sure.
Right.
So
yeah. You guys are going to have one or both of us on for Village, right?
Yeah, for sure. Beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going to skip to 7. I'm stuck on Resident Evil 5. I'm going to 7 and then I'll go.
Yeah, go right to 7. Yeah, at this point.
5, I
had to put 7 down because it scared me too much.
It is horrifying.
I was playing it in VR too. So.
Well, the fact that your brother beat it in VR and he is not a horror guy is alarming to me.
I've never
perhaps he was the one haunting your house growing up.
It could have been. I never really got, like, because I know he's not a horror person, but I know he loves Resident Evil, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the jump scares. Like, he just likes the jump scares.
I don't know, man.
He likes that adrenaline rush he gets from
the endorphin that gets released. I don't know.
Other people do heroin for that, and he just, like, plays Resident Evil.
Like, I'll play Resident Evil VR. Why not?
It is really funny to me that he beat that game in VR.
It's insane.
Just knowing that.
I would have puked.
It's terrifying in VR. It's absolutely
terrifying. It's terrifying without VR.
Even that intro part where, like, you're going down the stairwell and she comes up the stairwell, like,
it's
all ring style. I was like, nope, I'm done. Nope. I'm done.
I couldn't. Nope.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Village is going to be sweet, though.
Yeah,
I played
too.
The demo and I really enjoyed it. So.
It looks very, very cool.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I loved hearing your ghost stories, too. And I think I would love to hear ghost stories from some of your listeners, too, because I'm sure somebody's. Everybody's got something, you know, even if it's something they don't necessarily think is, like, worthy, it's worthy to some extent. Like, I'd be curious to hear what everybody else
look,
has to
even
say.
if it's total made up BS,
just tell us a good,
if it's,
just tell
if it's
us a good
entertaining and it gives me goosebumps, then you know what? Then it was worth my time.
If somebody sends in a good ghost story and you guys want me to do voiceover for it, I totally will.
You got it, man.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll do whole. I don't want to put myself on another 2 months. I was gonna say we'll do whole production for it, but maybe you just doing a voiceover will be fine. I'm not editing anything.
Can you voiceover sound effects? Can you be our Mike Patton, please?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
I can. I'll figure it out. You know, I'm good.
No
at
one can be Mike Patton, but if you could try,
no, nobody. I could never touch Mike Patton by any means. But like Fantomas all the way, baby. Like,
yes,
that's my shit. Oh, I do want to say real fast, too, because you guys use the Gamma Foundation for your intro music on both this show and for
multimedia. Yeah.
The Gamma Foundation stuff is available for people to stream online on every streaming platform. Please look it up. The EP is called the Lewis and Quark EP, but I think on the streaming platforms, it's just called Lewis and Quark. So be sure to look that up. That's Quark with a Q, Q-U-A-R-K. Check it out. Give us some streams. We do make money off of that.
It's like, and I'm not just saying that because like I know you and you're my friend. It's very good.
Thank you. No, it's something I'm very proud of. So I'm glad we finally like took the plunge, and for our 10-year anniversary of releasing it, we actually got it up on stream.
That's awesome.
And thanks for the heads up on that. I will make sure to.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I appreciate you guys using it because it just, you know, it gets people listening to something that I created, and just like the podcast, it's important to me. So
I'm super pumped on it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
All right, man.
You got it. Later. Peace.